are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Talk station.
8:30, Kodama 8:31, 35 Care City Talk Station. Thursday, that means iHeartMedia aviation expert Jay Ratliff is raring to go. Jay Ratliff, always a distinct pleasure to talk to you on the 55 Care City Morning Show, my friend.
Twice in a week. I feel really good about that.
Brother, you're speaking to the choir on that one. You're not looking for an argument.
Although some stations I'm on 15 times a week. So,
oh, wow.
You know, we got a ways to go to, you know, get to that level, but I'll take two.
Maybe we better step up our game, Joe. Anyhow, let me just compliment you. I didn't get back within the second round of photos. I will say I am jealous. Your view is epic from the Southern Command, Jay. The photographs you sent me, I was like, oh my word, you just have this glorious view and neighborhood and home in the Southern Command. So I can see
we're outside of Savannah, which is where Sherry is from. But you know, the kicker is that view of the sunrise over the water.
Yeah,
I could send you another view in the backyard of the water with the sun going down. We live on a peninsula.
Oh, wow.
So we have deep water on both sides as it goes out to the Atlantic. And a kid from Ohio, I didn't know you could, like, live on kind of a peninsula unless you were on an island. So when we were down two or three years ago in one of our trips to Savannah, we kept looking for a home. And I took the day trading proceeds from the stocks I traded in 2019 and put a big down payment on this bad boy. And I tell you, it is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place.
It certainly is.
And for a guy
is.
That lived in a motel room for 10 years, I still walk around in awe that that we're blessed enough to have it.
You are distinctly blessed, but you earned it. That's you lived in a hotel room, you learned your trade, and it paid off for you. It takes hard work and effort.
I love you for keep calling it a hotel room, but if snow blows under the door in the winter, it's not a hotel again.
That reminds me of some of the places my uncle and I stayed. We used to go out and do our motorcycle trips. You know, it's like the cheapest place you could find that didn't have bed bugs. Anyway, they're going to cancel air traffic today because of the ongoing problems with the smoke coming in from the wildfires in Canada. I thought that was an interesting decision.
Well, you know, yesterday we had some limited visibility issues in the Northeast, and Federal Aviation Administration, remember, they're short on air traffic controllers in a lot of those Northeast centers. They actually called a ground stop, ordering no more traffic activity at LaGuardia and Newark for a period of time. They lifted those ground stops, but then the delays for Newark, I think, were averaging about 82 minutes, 2 hours at LaGuardia, and it was all because of that limited visibility. And of course, we're talking about the most concentrated area in the country of flight activity, very condensed, very active, very busy. And on a good day, they have their hands full from an air traffic control standpoint. You throw in a thunderstorm, a blizzard, a fog that may be rolling in or something like that, and it makes it even more difficult. And yesterday, they were dealing with the smoke that was coming in, the haze coming out of the Canadian wildfires. And, you know, really didn't see it coming to the point where it was going to impact flight activity that much, but it did. And Brian, there's a real probability that that could happen again today. So hopefully, you know, the winds will change soon for us to kind of give us some relief from that. But I mean, just a tragic situation with those fires, and it's causing some inconvenience on what has been so far, knock knock, a rather event-free summer travel season, and one we'd like to continue to see.
So visibility, in spite of the fact that we have radar and all of that, is still critically important to the safe operation of air traffic. I was talking to a listener yesterday who was, I mentioned my Alaska trip. I don't know how we got on the topic, but she said, oh, I'd love to do that, and I want to go up in one of those little Cessnas and see the beautiful landscape. And I said, well, just be careful, because in places of high tourism where they have those little Cessnas flying around, sometimes they fly into each other because they're not paying any damn attention to what's going on around them. So I suppose smaller aircraft probably present a bigger problem than the ones that have all those, you know, warnings and information about the proximity.
Yeah, the traffic air collision avoidance system sometimes is not on those smaller aircraft.
Right.
And you also sometimes have pilots with less experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I mean, not a week goes by that something doesn't land on my desk that has to do with a general aviation incident or accident. But, you know, that smoke and haze is creating issues, but it's not like the problems we have when it's volcanic ash.
Right.
Because when ash is in the jet stream and jets fly through it, it actually shuts the engines down because
yeah.
that sand accumulates. And, British Airways, the Speedbird incident, I always talk about that. First time in 82 that a 747 flew through volcanic ash, didn't know it, and all four engines stopped.
That's a problem.
yep, they became a glider. But the issue was they came in under the jet stream, and all four engines fired back up. They still didn't know why. So they go back up to altitude, and what happens? They're back in the volcanic ash, shuts all four engines down again. So we learn a lot from that. So even though the fog and the haze is a situation, it's nowhere near the problems that we can have associated with the sandblasting that takes place with an aircraft at 500 some miles an hour going through volcanic ash.
And I'm sure a lot of people had to change their underwear, which actually will tie into the subject matter of our next conversation. Use the restroom before you get on a plane. More with Jay Ratliff. Pause for a moment. Let me mention my
RC, the talk station.
You ever been in a cockpit before?
Jay Ratliff has. He's iHeartMedia aviation expert. We're going to learn about the flag retirement segment in our ceremony in the next segment. Doing that this Sunday. I will be master of ceremonies as I have been for, I think, a decade. In the meantime, $100 million a year in savings if we just use the bathroom before we got on an airplane. Seriously, Jay?
Well, according to somebody who obviously has too much time on their hands, armed with a calculator. But, if we go to, if we hit the restroom before we board an aircraft, according to this report, we can shed an average of 0.2 liters of urine. And that means that we would save on that flight, the airlines, $2.66 in fuel. So you take that per flight savings by 40 million commercial flights a year, comes out to, $100 million. And, of course, all the bean counters at airlines, they see stuff like this and say, gee, could we incorporate this into our, pre-boarding announcement? Is there a way to encourage people to, use the restroom beforehand? But, look, they serve onboard alcohol, and that generates, obviously, lavatory usage onboard an aircraft. So I don't see them really going head over heels on this, but it just shows you every little bit of fuel, which is many times the airline's biggest expense, can pay off.
It can. Might I just point out they'd be better at marketing and success in trying to get people to use the restrooms before they get on, because they should just let people know how unbelievably filthy and claustrophobic those bathrooms are on airplanes. I mean, if your little seat bag is a festering nightmare of bacteria and disease, which it is, then certainly the bathroom is too. I doubt they're in there scrubbing the living hell out of that after every flight, Jay. Not to cast any aspersions on the airlines, but that's what I've been led to believe over the years.
Well, sometimes the flight attendants will do what they can to keep it picked up and try to clean as they can.
Yeah.
And it overnight, they're supposed to be given a real good thorough cleaning. Whether that happens or not, who knows? But, the bottom line is I see parents that let their kids go in there barefoot. And I'm just thinking, oh, please. And many times the flight attendants will stop the kids and say, can you go put your shoes on? Because they know what's in there.
Uh-huh.
And all we need is real scary music when the lavatory door opens, and then I think it would communicate, you're kind of taking some things at risk here. So I think the music would be a good idea.
Like an old Hammer movie production organ going on when you walk in.
I throw some Halloween music or something in there,
Well, that's kind of along the lines I'm thinking, if anybody's familiar with the old Hammer horror films and Peter Cushing and all that. All right, and, Mile High Club, you don't want to do that either for the same reasons. It's gross in there.
The idea of hitting the lavatory always causes me to remind people that fly. A lot of times people are boarding and they're like, I got to hit the restroom. I'll do it once we're on the plane and in the air. Well, the problem is you might get out there and the airplane's taxiing for takeoff and you have a thunderstorm or something that delays it and you're on the ground for 2 or 3 hours. That's happened. And you're back there in absolute misery because you didn't do something you could have done before you boarded the aircraft. And it's the same thing when the plane's getting ready to land. Right before that seatbelt sign dings, I'm hitting the lavatory one last time, because if the plane lands and they don't have a gate, guess what? You're waiting for, and it's an active flight, which means you're not allowed by law to get up and move, which means you certainly can't go to the lavatory. So as a result, when you've got to take care of business, I'm just encouraging you, pre-flight or during the flight, take care of it, because you never know. I've seen so many planes land and encounter an hour and a half delay before it gets to the gate or something because of a lot of different situations and scenarios. And you can tell the people that are absolutely losing their minds because they're in a lot of discomfort because, they took advantage of all the drinks on the aircraft and they thought they were getting to the gate and into the airport in 12 or 15 minutes, and it's an hour and a half after that.
Well, you're bringing back bad flashbacks, Jay Ratliff, because I remember the day I had, you know, my full thermos of coffee and my 16-ounce energy beverage and got stuck in an hour's worth of traffic on 71 trying to go home. It's like I was in such misery. I was able to make
it. At least you had a container with you, right?
Well, I did. And fortunately, at that time, I didn't have to use it. But trust me, brother, I was about a second away from doing that when the traffic finally opened up. Hard lesson learned on that one. Finally, as we always end, since we already dealt with the smoke and haze, hub delays, what's going on today, Jay?
You know, I think Minneapolis is going to give us some minor issues with some thunderstorms on and off at 30, 45 minutes at most there. I think the problem, children, again, are going to be those airports towards the northeast, LaGuardia, Boston, the Newark area, Washington, D.C., even Philadelphia could see some flight activity impacted by the limited visibility caused by this smoke and haze, and hopefully we'll get past it, because right now we're seeing 2.5, 2.6 million and more people flying a day. Most of these flights are filled, so if a flight ends up getting canceled, there's nowhere to put these people. So hopefully sooner than later, all of this stuff can blow over so we can get back to business as usual.
Yeah, that ripple effect is just amazing, isn't it? Any one airport gets shut down for anything. If it's a major airport, the entire country ends up getting impacted on some degree. Well, forewarned, foretold, or foretold, forewarned, either way you slice it, just pay attention when you're getting ready to fly. Jay Ratliff, God bless you, sir. I love our conversations. I'll look forward to another one next Thursday, or maybe even sooner if the... as the case may be, something might happen in the stock market.
He can track me down. So, you can't get away from Joe. He's the quiet, sneaky kind. So, anytime you need me, brother, I'm here.
I know you are, and I appreciate it, and so do my listeners. Take care, my friend. Best of health, and enjoy that view for everybody.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.